All right.
That was
Brad
that
is
was a
always good.
well-timed
Yes.
teaching right there. We needed that.
We
Yes.
did.
Yes.
We did.
Yes, we do. Thank you so much, Brad. I tell you, this has been an incredible weekend. Absolutely incredible weekend. I can't. There's no words. It has gone off so well, Stephen. You know, I mean, all the
I
different
know.
Things that you and I have thought of and kind of tried to put to the side and see, you know, what might happen or whatever. And, you know, God takes care of it all. He made it happen.
He exactly. He has made it happen. It's not you. It's not me or Susan or any of the other teachers, John, James, and Gail. It's God.
Well,
he
all
does
39
it.
Of them.
Oh, that's right. All right. I'm telling you,
yes.
God has blessed us this last 3 days.
Yep. Hey, give me a second here. I want to do something that I've been needing to do all day. And so we're going to take a quick 1 minute break and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us here at Messianic Lamb Radio's third annual God Week and 3-day virtual conference. We hope that you're as excited as we are to be a part of this special event. During this conference, between the dates of October 29th through October 31st, if you make a purchase from RemnantRemedy.net of $50 or more, we will send you free a 2-mil bottle of Israeli distilled Boswellia Sacra frankincense as a thank you for joining us during this special 3-day virtual conference. This is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy saying thank you for joining us, and don't forget to use your special LAMB 2015 discount code.
Amen. Go over to Nitza's website and buy the oils from her, buy her linens. She is absolutely one of my favorite people on the planet, and we do want to support her ministry. So thank you all so much for doing that. If you're going to buy oils, buy them from Nitza. She blends her own oils, and it's absolutely amazing. So just like this weekend, one more quick announcement before we get going. If you haven't been in the chat room, please come in the chat room and join with everybody. I think Brad just went over there, and I've been in off and on, but I've been quite busy today. So,
and you know, a reminder that you told me to remind you, don't forget that we have a Lamb Radio Facebook page. Come over there and like us on Facebook as well.
We have a Facebook page?
You betcha.
Well, when did that happen?
Oh, come on.
Really?
Oh, oh yeah, God. I snuck it in there.
Susan, tell us about the Facebook page.
Oh, there's not really too much to say. Pretty much everyone knows what goes on in Facebook, but what we do I try to keep it separate, you know, the Lamb Radio weekly update that we send out on Sunday mornings. And then we also have information that we send out on our Messianic Lamb Radio Facebook page. These are two separate entities. I do not cross-reference information from one to the other. So, and for the strict purpose of, we want to make sure that people are signing up for the update as well as, you know, coming in and liking Lamb Radio. And so that you're not being inundated with the same old and getting bored. We try to keep it unique and special with each one. So it's
just like Lamb Radio.
That's
unique
right.
and special.
Yes. Unique and special.
Yes. I love it. Thanks, Susan.
Hey,
Susan is our, she's our media person. I can't thank you enough. You know, I mean, I have told Susan a million times, I can't thank you enough. I'm never going to be able to thank you enough. It's just not there. I can't do it. So
well, you know what?
She
We're
just
gonna
has
do it
to
together.
Know how much I love her and appreciate her. Thank you, Susan.
If Thank Messiah you. Doesn't show up soon, you got to make it to 120 there, Susan.
Well, like Dr. Scotty, I'm going for it.
There you go. We got some fantastic people coming up, don't we?
We do.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
If you came to the website a couple of months ago, up to about a month ago, up to even a couple of weeks ago, you would have saw that Ed Harris was supposed to speak at this time tonight, mm-hmm. and Ed had to bow out. He's out of all the different speakers that we had, Ed is the only one that had to cancel. And
that's pretty
amazing.
That is amazing.
That is pretty amazing, especially since we've only been doing this in about for about 2 months now, putting this together. Go ahead, Gail. You start saying that. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that was me. I was just going to say he's got a good reason to have bowed out. He's on an airplane right now.
Yeah, I understand. Okay. I understand. I'm just saying he's the only one. And as soon as I found out, I turned around within just a very few minutes. I didn't even hesitate. My eyes looked up to the Lord as in prayer, and I really didn't even have to say the words. John and Sandy just came right into my mind. I never even hesitated. I'm sorry, I'm getting broke up like Brad was, and I'm not gonna apologize. They came into my mind immediately. I called John and asked him would he fill in, and he said yes. I said, "Aren't you gonna ask Sandy?" He said, "No, we're gonna do it." And
boy,
and here they are, ready in season, out of season. At the drop of a hat, ready to go, committed to the lifestyle, committed to Lamb Radio, John and Sandy Craig.
Well, hello. Hi. This is John.
This is Sandy.
It's good to be with you guys. Really, what an honor to be with you guys tonight. I knew Sandy and I have been married long enough that I knew exactly what she was going to say.
But I honestly thought you asked me first. I would have said yes. You should have got ahead and said yes. And when he said that, that's actually news to me.
Anyway. See how you are, Mark? You set me up.
It's all good.
It's all good. It's all good.
It is.
But I tell you what a lineup and just what I've been able to listen to this weekend. It's just really been a blessing.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, yesterday is it Ethel? With Bagels and
Ethel Chadwick,
Ethel Chadwick, there we go.
Bagels
and Blessings.
Oh my
goodness, she had that praise and worship going on. I was about ready to dance like David danced and down. Well, I won't go any further than that. I was ready. In fact, I put a note in the chat room. I said, I need some gels in my feet, in my shoes, because that I was just blessed with not only her and what she lined up, but for the whole weekend. It's just been really great, really great. So
what a great y'all idea.
Yes, it is.
So thank you guys for working so hard to keep it going. That's amazing.
Yeah. Y'all have been troopers sticking in there all weekend.
That's right.
Posting. So
that's right.
Thank you.
It's all yours.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, it's all yours. It's your time. You got it.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Very good.
Well, we are really excited because Mark gave us, we are actually going to talk about the main theme of the whole conference.
Right. So prayer, praise, and proclamation.
So there we go. But that is actually a massive topic to cover.
I know. Sandy and I were talking. It's like, we only have 50 minutes?
It would take weeks, actually.
There's so much in the Word, but I think we can whittle it down a little bit.
I think there's so much in the Word, but it's probably the most misunderstood topic in the Hebrew Roots Messianic community.
Or maybe... Maybe if there's an issue with practice, putting application to it.
But I even think sometimes when we leave where we've been, we throw everything away. And in reality, from praises, let's just bottom line, praise, prayer, proclamation, all of that are important, and they all intertwine together.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You don't even, you want all of them to go together. When you're on your face in prayer, then your proclamation should go before you as well as praise. In fact, if you have an hour of prayer, which most of you say an hour, oh, I can't do that. But if you start out, you can. Trust me, you can. You can build up to that. But 75% of that should be praise. It should be at least three-fourths praise of your time and one-fourth prayer and petition.
I used to think that was so impossible to do. Like, how can you praise for that long? Now, it just doesn't feel like enough time at all.
It's, yeah, you never have enough time. And it should be how we start our day. It should be, you know, it should be before our feet ever hit the floor. We should be praising Him and giving and praying and lifting up our voice and giving Him what goes before us that very day.
That's right. I wake up going, I'm alive.
Hallelujah.
I'm alive.
Yes. What we've got to remember is that worship actually, it's an expansion of prayer, and prayer is an extension of worship.
That's good.
It is. You think about that. Think about that. Prayer opens our hearts to the journey into Yahweh's presence, and worship carries our hearts on the journey. And bottom line is, I don't ever want to leave. I want to be where He is. I want to go where Yah goes, do what He does, and say what He says. I want to be in the midst of His perfect will, not straying. But part of that is worship.
That's
part
right.
of that is lifting up our voice. And you think, well, I don't see worship all over the place. Is that actually even in, where is that located? And when you look at, if we look at Exodus 7:16, it says, "And thou shalt say unto him, Yahovah Elohim of the Hebrews has sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness." And the word translated as serve is Strong's H5647 is abad. And it means to work, serve out, serve one another out of obligation, requirement, or gratitude. It means to serve, servant, till, husbandman, work. And it means worshiper. It can also mean to minister. And many times it means to serve, as in Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And we forget that. We think, we overlook that. Serving and working go to, worshiping go together. They work hand in hand. It's descriptive of what a worshiper does. We serve Him. We worship Him. And it's got to be included in our service to Yahweh. It's got to be. It also describes the work of the Levites in the tabernacle as they served Yahweh. And it's a reference to something being done unto Yahweh. And that is where the idea of worship is included. So even though the English doesn't say it specifically, we can see it at Exodus 3:12 and 7:16 and Joshua 24:15. All of them translate abad as serve, but it deals with serving and worshiping. And you can see it in other places too.
So you're telling me that when I get up and go to work in the morning and I am writing estimates for people's damaged property, that's work. And so, but it's work unto the Lord, wholeheartedly as unto the Lord.
Yeah, we are supposed to do all our work to the Lord. But I also think there's another element of that. It's almost separate in a way, because we can't say, okay, I worship Yah today because I worked. That doesn't quite work either.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
So it's got to be set apart for Him. Worship is more. Worship involves every part of our being. And you say every part of our being, well, you know, yes, isn't it? If you look at the Psalms, what you look at is you see David, you see him work through these issues that are going on, but it ends in praise. It begins in praise oftentimes. In the midst of crisis, in the midst of a storm, as he's talking through it, he realizes, hey, Yahweh, you've got me covered. I look to you and unto you alone as the one who will deliver me from this place. And in this time and season right now, all I hear from people is that Yah's people are going through some things. They're going through some trials and tribulations, I hear even in our own congregation at Life of Worship, you know, it seems things sometimes are unfair.
Well,
you know, cars are breaking down, relationships are hurting.
Yesterday was no exception, and it was because people have made a stand to worship Yahweh, to follow Him and serve Him, just like Israel was told to do, that they were going to go out into the wilderness to worship Him in the wilderness, and they felt like their lives, everything they knew, fell apart. Why? Because they were complaining about not having the onions and the leeks or whatever. And what they found is that the more they pressed in, yeah, they had to overcome some trials. And yesterday was really interesting, as people are following the Lord, serving Him in this messianic lifestyle, following Him according to what the Word says and not according to traditions. People are saying, look, this came up at work. I'm being challenged. They're taking jobs away from me.
They're taking money away.
They're taking money away from me. I'm having a conflict now that I haven't seen before, and I'm not doing anything different. And so we're like, okay, this is a kingdom versus kingdom thing.
Isn't it a separation? Aren't we seeing a divide, a separation? Will my people worship me despite? It's like the testing in the wilderness.
It is.
Will my people worship me despite the circumstances that surround them? Or will they go and they'll begin cursing themselves with the words of their mouth? Because that shows the overflow of the heart.
Right. This is a real test of the heart.
Right.
So,
and when we look further at worship, before we go really into what we're going to talk about, we see that an abad, you have an ayin, bait, and a dalet. And the ayin, of course, is to see and to know, to experience. The bait, everybody knows, that's the tin in the house, the household, and to a family. A dalet is a door, which is like a pathway to enter. So when you sort of break it all down, it means,
abad,
right? The pathway to enter into the family of Yahweh and to know, to see and experience His indwelling presence. We experience His presence through worship, both acts of serving Him and personal, physical expressions of worship.
That sounds pretty Hebrew to me.
That sounds like it.
Yeah. In other words, it's not all in our mind. It's something we do.
It is something we do.
Right.
And it's something that will change everything in our lives. I know when we are ministering to people and they say, even my thought process is, I feel this heaviness. I feel things are going on around me. And it's like the world is closing in. The first thing I say is change the atmosphere which you sit, in which you dwell. I tell people to turn on the worship music in their home. Turn on things. Bring things, His word. Let His words come forth to change the atmosphere around you. And all of a sudden, your heart's going to change. It's going to melt.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, worship is a choice. You don't wait for a feeling to arise.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you change the atmosphere which you're in, everything else is going to change and follow suit.
So it's more than just listening to that worship music. It's more than just going to that congregation and listening to a worship leader sing and play an instrument. It is about participating, because it's not a concert. It's about the congregation.
And I think about this too, is that in our community, and I'm not talking in Amarillo, Texas, I'm talking in the community, you know, the Hebrew Roots Messianic community, we've been so lacking before we come to walk this way with word that feeds us.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it becomes about consuming all the teaching and all the word you can get, and we're getting fatter and fatter and fatter. But the one thing we've got to know, we can listen to every teacher, we can listen and learn and know, and if we don't have a place where we're giving it out, ultimately that's not necessarily good either. But that is all about us receiving from Yahweh. Through others, yes, through Him, but isn't a relationship two-sided?
Yes.
I know when we worship, all of a sudden it becomes more horizontal.
Yeah.
It's the one thing that we give Him. You know, in the midst of our prayer and petition, or before, or after, or during, or all throughout, It should be, Yahweh, I know who you are. I know what you do. You are my deliverer. You are my strong tower. You are the one who sets me free, makes me whole. And I can trust in you when everything else is broken, when it seems like there is no way. Father, that is when you have the opportunity and you have the opportunity to work. Because otherwise, Father, if we weren't in this desperate place, then I would get the glory. But because I'm here, you can do what you do and show yourself as Yahweh Elohim, the great and mighty deliverer and savior.
That's right. That's right.
And so that horizontal relationship, when we come together with Yahweh's people, is important. Is important. In fact, it sets the foundation for, I mean, the vertical relationship is what sets is so important. And then the horizontal relationship works better with one another. As long as we've got to be giving him something. Mm-hmm. And I think because we have been watching so much going on amongst Yah's people, I think that's why we've chosen the passage we've chosen today.
Yeah.
Is to really take you through sort of what a spiritual battle looks like in the physical as well as the supernatural. How Yahweh is intervening as we bring forth our prayer and our petition to him, as we worship worship him and proclaim who he is. We see him all of a sudden come and show everyone.
Yeah.
Us as well as the enemy. Who he is.
That's right. You know, one of the things too is as we're talking about worship, and it is related to service, but it is part of, if you want to put it in these terms, the altar service where we are making our worship as incense before him, and we're taking the sacrifice. And sometimes I'll tell you what. How many times do we not feel like worshiping, but we're coming before him and we're saying, you know, I'm going to use my vocal cords. I'm going to use the strength that God has given me, and I'm going to give what I have to him as we gather together, whether it's individual or if it's as a congregation, to say, here is my very best, Yahweh. Here's all the... I've tried this before. Worshiping in silence does not quite have the impact as worshiping vocally, as worshiping with action.
There are moments when you've been in the midst and you have been pouring yourself out as a holy convocation, mm-hmm. separated, but coming together, which with like mind and like kind. And you gather together with that congregation and worship. We come in one accord and we give him praise. And there's just sometimes where Yahweh, the King, comes in.
He inhabits our praises.
But it's even, he inhabits them all the time. But his presence is such where no one can say a word.
In the silence, that holy silence.
But that's different. Most of the time, what is happening is worship involves our body. It involves mm-hmm. our mouth. It involves action.
Where it's like that most powerful, what is a very powerful word for worship is shakah.
Well, they're all powerful in and of
and
themselves.
And that one is where there's such a presence of the Lord where the only thing you can do is plant your face on the ground and bow way down, prostrate before him.
I remember watching you all through the worship conferences we used to go to. And we still do, but the minute the conference starts, you're sort of face planted in the ground amidst 3,000 worshipers. You're pretty much face planted the whole time. So, and that's really, there's something special about that.
It's very special. It's very special. Get stepped on, but you know, that's all right. But it's like, I don't want to move. I don't want to get out of this place. I don't want to get out of this place. So, hey, let's go over to, if you have your Bibles and you want to go over there with us to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we are going to be looking at this passage because in this passage, we will bring out the prayer, the praise, and the proclamation. So it's verses 1 through, I think we're going to be going through 29.
30, I think, is what you told
30.
Me.
Or 30, yeah. So beginning with verse 1, it says, "Now it came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Ammonites, or the Munites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and reported Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram, and behold, they are in Hatzazon Tamar, that is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek Yahweh. And then going on in verse 5, "Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of Yahweh before the new court. And he said, 'O Yahweh, Elohim of our fathers, are you not Elohim in the heavens? And are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, so that no one can stand against you. Did you not, O our Elohim, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they lived in it and have built you a sanctuary there for your name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. And now behold the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. They turned aside from them and did not destroy them. Behold how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out from your possession, which you have given us as an inheritance. O our Elohim, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And all Judah was standing before Yahweh with their infants, their wives, and their children. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of Yahweh came upon Yahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Yael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite, the sons of Asaph. And he said, "Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but Elohim's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Yeruel. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of Yahweh on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for Yahweh is with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before Yahweh, worshiping Yahweh. And the Levites from the sons of the Kohathites and of the sons of the Korahites stood up to praise Yahweh Elohim of Israel with a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, O Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in Yahweh, your Elohim, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to Yahweh and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to Yahweh, for his loving kindness is everlasting." And when they began singing and praising, Yahweh set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Yehuda. So they were routed, for the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When Judah came out to look out of came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and behold, they were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods, garments, and valuable things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were 3 days taking the spoil, because there were so much. Then on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Barakah, for there they blessed Yahweh. Therefore, they were named that place, the Valley of Barakah, until today.
What's really amazing about this passage is it sort of encompasses what we go through as his people, but it shows all sorts of forms of worship, prayer, petition, proclamation that goes on in the midst of the battle. But we've got to understand that the battles we face have already been won. They've already been won. We simply enforce the victory that Yeshua received on the cross, that Yeshua attained on the cross.
And in his resurrection.
And in his resurrection.
Right.
Of course, it was all the way through. But we look, and first we see the enemies. We're going to skip over that because we're short on time. But let's look, and we go to verse 6, and it talks about, it says, our fathers, are you not Elohim in heaven, and do you not rule? Right here, as we look at this whole verse, it talks about, basically, you are everything. It's praise. It's declaring who he is, he's done.
It's a declaration.
A declaration. And that's what we should do. We don't start off saying, well, can you give me this? And can you do this?
Well, and who was saying it? It was King Jehoshaphat. And who are we in the kingdom? We are kings and priests. And so we come before him declaring his glory.
Right.
And so it's a proclamation, actually, of who he is.
It's a proclamation, but all need to hear. And there's something that happens. We may think it, but when you say it, remember the words that we speak have power. Life or death are in the power of the tongue. Cursing or blessing. Do we curse ourselves and proclaim, woe, oh, is me, this is going on? Or we say, you are the one we trust in. You are the one we give glory to. We've seen your deeds of old and know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we see that they took a stand and they declared who he was. And then after that, we see, and they dwelt in it, and they and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying it's a disaster. If disaster comes on us, sword, judgment, pestilence, and famine, we will stand before this temple in your presence and cry out to you. And we all have heard about what crying out, the just king.
Oh, my goodness.
Anybody, yes. The hearer must respond when someone cries out. But it's really a statement of faith.
That's right.
It's a statement of faith. Hey, we know who you are, and we're going to stand and not be moved because we know you are the one that's our deliverer.
Well, it's exactly what he was saying, is that he was coming before Yahweh, one, declaring who he is, who Yahweh is, and then he was reminding them that, hey, we are the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever. Said, are we not your people that you placed in this land, and you wouldn't even allow us to touch our enemies at that point in time, but here they are trying to take this inheritance from us. He's making a declaration, going back to this week's Torah portion, about the and last week's Torah portion regarding the covenant, the covenant that Yahweh made with Abraham, and that was regarding the very land that they were living in. He's saying, look, this is your land, and they're trying to take it from us. We invoke the covenant.
We remind you of your promises. We know who you are.
Right.
And we are part of that covenant. And we are your people, called by your name, set apart.
And what was the thing about the covenant of the pieces? It was Yahweh who walked between the pieces. And therefore, it wasn't upon Abraham. It was upon Yahweh to enforce and to keep this covenant. And that's what he's saying here. And so the very term to cry out, which we know, is that when one cries out in distress, that anybody who hears that voice must render aid and assistance. So in this case, there's no one greater to help God's covenant people than Yahweh himself.
Well, in fact, when you see and you go on and it says, for we have no power against this great multitude. We have no power at our job. We have no power when we see our children going where they're not supposed to go. But there's a great multitude coming. There's an enemy that's trying to hit us and break us down. And we know, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are open. We know you are the one that has the answer. We put our faith and trust in him. In that place where we realize there's nothing left of us is that place where he can come in and receive all the glory and honor that's due him, where yes. he can show who he is to everyone.
You know, it's so humbling sometimes to realize that a lot of times we get put in this position where we feel powerless, that we, like, if Yahweh, you don't intervene, then all is lost. Or at least that's how we're feeling. Yahweh, unless you intervene, these things are going to fall apart. This is going to happen, and I need your help. And this is the situation that Jehoshaphat was in with the people of Judah. And this was even the same thing like yesterday. I told our folks at our congregation yesterday, I said, if I could go down and talk to your boss and tell them that they are acting unjustly and actually have influence, I would do it. But I can't do that. I don't have authority to speak into somebody's job situation or into their business or how they conduct their business or how they treat people unfairly and to get their act together. But so the only thing that we have is like Jehoshaphat. It's to us. It's a big deal. No matter how small it is, Yahweh is a covenant keeper.
But that is why we fight our battles on our knees. We fight our battles in worship. We fight our battles in proclamation of who he is and his promises.
Yeah.
And we've got to do that. And I love what it says, but next in verse 13, it says, now all. Mm-hmm. And what's the Hebrew word there?
All. It's kol.
All, which means all, the whole of, totality, all of Yehuda with their little ones, their wives and their children stood.
Wait a minute. It says all of Yehuda with their infants and their wives and their children. Wait a minute. It's not just the women who brought the children and the men are staying home watching football?
And that's one thing I want to get to. Because if we go back and understand who we are, first off, we were created on the sixth day. And that's significant. Because we were commanded, when Adam looked at all, at everything there was, he found no one, nothing like him. And Hava was separated from him, one became two, and they become one again, which is the pattern that we follow in everything, which what makes it good. We see that the waters were gathered on this, were separated on the second day, but they weren't gathered till the third day, and that's when it was called good. But what we've got to understand is that we keep separating and dividing, and it doesn't work, because we're supposed to come together as one. We're supposed to come together as the whole body. We are supposed to be part of a holy convocation, but yet we act like we think, instead of a living stone that makes up a wall that brings defense and shelter, instead of living stones that are connected to the foundation, we like to be single little stones that we can kick around, and there is no stone that can create a wall of defense for much time at all.
By itself.
In fact, it just sort of gets kicked along on its own. And so those of us that try to be individuals, instead of coming together all shapes and sizes, it just doesn't work. And then you connect it to the, because man was created on the sixth, you connect it to the number six, the Vav, and it means a tent, a peg, a hook. And that is important to remember, because the tent, the things that connected the tent, the tabernacle together were called Vavim. And those Vavim, each one held down that tabernacle that made it one whole, the place to gather, the tabernacle. And if one is disconnected, it puts pressures on the others. And before you know it, the whole thing falls apart, because it's made from man. I mean, it's made of man is trying to, man is trying to do his own thing and separate themselves, thinking they are the Lone Ranger and can do it by themselves. And unfortunately, being separate, separating ourselves from the world is not enough. That is, we're not holy until we come together, because we are to gather like kind. and like mind.
So the whole issue is even as you were talking about yesterday, Sandy, was that when one man sinned in the camp, like Achan, God said, "You, all of Israel, have
sinned." You
sinned. So one person affects the corporate body. So as a corporate body, we must stand together. It's kind of like this. I remember what some of the founding patriots of our nation said. If we don't stand together, we'll all hang separately, which is really true. We have to be one people. Otherwise, we all get picked off by the enemy.
It's true. We stand together as one people, and it is amazing to stand together as one people, agreeing with His word, standing upon His truth, mm-hmm. proclaiming His promises, proclaiming who Yahweh is.
Right.
There's something when we gather together in one voice and we begin to worship, proclaim, praise, even lift our voices in prayer. There's Yahweh begins to rain upon us all that He is. You see His mighty hand come in and rectify a situation. We've seen His healing touch come in and change someone's life. We've seen bodies healed. We've seen families reunited. We've seen so much. And if we haven't seen it, we've heard of it. Why? Because He's powerful when we come together as one and not let Hasatan break us up as he tries through offense and other things to divide us and take us out.
So what we have here is we got King Jehoshaphat and the people of Yehuda coming before Yahweh. They're praising Him. Then they're speaking the covenant language, in fact, invoking the covenant language. And as one, they are all focused on Yahweh. What happens next after that? So we have, it says in verse 14, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Yahatziel. So who is Yahatziel? He's the prophet. And the prophet begins to speak and says, "Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat."
I think he said it like this, though. Listen! Listen!
Shema,
yes.
Right? So, and he says, "Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle's not yours, it is Elohim's. It belongs to the Lord. It belongs to Yahweh." And then he gives the instructions. So what did they do? They praised. They invoked the covenant language. They declared who they were, and the word of the Lord came and said, "Okay, I've got a plan for you."
And they did not fear. And we've got to remember, we're in the midst of the storm in the battle. First off, it's temporary. But secondly, or including, we need to remember that Yahweh didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We do not fear. That's a spirit. That's not even supposed to be a part of our vocabulary. The only thing we have is the reverent fear of Yahweh Himself. That's the only kind of fear that should enter in our midst, because if we truly trust, we won't fear. And that's what they did. They said, "We're not going to fear. We're going to trust."
Which is such a key area in terms of prayer, is that there's times we need to shut up.
In fact, prayer should also be listening.
Yeah.
Do we give Him time just to speak to us, or do we rush off?
Here's the list, God. I got to go to work.
Well, we pretty much don't praise and we don't listen. We just say, I want.
Or we're going to bed at night. Okay, Lord, here's my list. And then we just, yep, there we go. And we're out of there.
That's what happens.
Because the day is full. The day is so busy. And so we must be purpose or intent, purposeful in our prayer. We it's not by accident that we pray.
But I want us to go, that's right. I want us to go further down, because we are running short of time already. But it talks about Jehoshaphat. He bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Yehuda and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before Yahweh, which that word right there is Barak. It means the flavor of praise is one that it's commonly, we see it around altars. It means to kneel down, to bow low, to get on our face, as we talked about. It carries the idea of humbling ourselves to a place that's lower than the recipient of our worship. And it sometimes it's uncomfortable. People don't want to do that. And we can't get into a lot of detail in what we're talking about here. But it involves your whole body. It's not something you think about. Or as I oftentimes see, especially during conferences and things, you see a section usually of people that will sit there. Worship begins. The thing that gives that vertical offering, the sacrifice, that incense offered being offered to him, they sit down with their arms crossed like they're at a concert. And that's not what it's about. It's participatory.
That's right.
But then we go down and we see when it goes down to where it says worshiping Yahweh, the word there is Shekhah.
Right. They were worshiping Yahweh. And then it says the Levites, and it lists it there, and it says, stood up to praise Yahweh Elohim of Israel with a very loud voice.
Very loud.
So very loud means what?
That means they were expressing themselves. They weren't silently thinking, Yahweh is great.
They were thinking loudly in their head.
They weren't thinking loudly.
Okay,
in their head.
So they were with a very loud voice. They were lifting up their voices. I'll tell you what, that was explosive.
It was explosive. Can you imagine all the people raising their voice together? I will just say this, with the people that we had at Sukkot, when we raised our voice together at the end of each prayer session, and we began to praise Yah for who He was.
Oh, it was
wow,
cool.
That was powerful. And that wasn't that many.
Yeah, it was
Hallelujah,
great.
It was great. That's all we needed. But it wasn't, imagine the voices raised. And if we look at the word there, it's halal. And it's a primitive word root to be clear, to shine, to show, to make a show, to boast, to rave, to causatively, to celebrate, to commend. It almost means it.
Put on your dancing shoes.
Put on your dancing shoes. It might be one of the most fun forms of praise because it requires one to step outside of your dignity.
I like fun.
You do. It means to clamorously be foolish. Clamorously, foolishly praising Him. I would say that's what David was doing.
Yes.
And yet, so if you are worried about who's going to think when you give Yah the glory that's due His name, then you're focusing on the wrong person, because the wrong thing, because it is you giving back to Him. And it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter if you can sing the songs correctly. It doesn't matter if you can dance the right steps. It's that you get out there and you choose to do it, because it's about you and Yahweh together as a corporate body, yes. But you being part of that body, because what you do will affect the rest of the body.
Well, you know, what they're showing us here in this scenario is this is life and death.
It is life and
it's
death.
But how many times do we actually consider every day of our life is life and death? And so therefore, we need to treat it as such and be that intent or that deliberate in our worship.
Well, let me ask you this. Well, like you know, we're actually giving this scenario to everyone else. It was like, I will say it was last couple weeks. In worship, we've had a mass of young people come down, and the men have been joining in even more so than usual during dance.
Yes.
And there is something that happens there's something, because it is a battle. It's spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that happens when we come together exuberantly like that, that changes the atmosphere which we're dwelling. It changes the circumstance. It changes everything. And you say, no, that's emotion. Well, yes and no, because I will say this, God is a God of emotion, and we forget that. But when we choose to have our bodies do something, our hearts and our minds follow. There's something when we step out in faith, when we step out and begin praising Him, it changes things. When your child comes up and says something to you in praise or somebody else, does it change the way you feel? Can it brighten your day? Absolutely. Does Yah need His day bright? No. But He desires our praise. It's what we give right now as a sacrifice. It's the Olah offering that we have. No, it's not the burnt offering. But the Olah was given to give for praise and thanksgiving. That was part of what it was given for. It's praise and thanksgiving. We are giving Him the sacrifice of praise.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, anyway, there's a whole bunch more that talks about that. And
So this next thing was a proclamation that the king makes. So the next morning, they get up real early, and the king says, Shema, again, listen to me, hear. And he says this, put your trust in Yahweh your Elohim, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. Well, we know that the prophet of Yahweh had spoken that day before, and it says, put your trust in the Lord your God. So right here, what he's saying is he's making a proclamation based on Yah's character and the word. So here's what a proclamation is.
We're declaring, we're doing it. But what I love about proclamation is when we think about the king himself, we proclaim, we declare, we make a statement. It's an act again.
Right. So here's kind of an understanding of it. A proclamation is a formal announcement you can call it a royal proclamation made under the great seal of some matter which is of the king in council who desires to make known to his or her subjects the statement of whatever he's saying. So here's what it is. Royal proclamations of this character are made in furtherance of the executive power of the crown and are binding on the subject, whether they do not either contradict the old laws or tend to establish new ones, but only confine the execution of such laws that are already a matter. So here's another words, what he's saying is he's not making up a new law. He is establishing truth. And he's saying, look, this, we are the people of the Torah, is what he's saying. He says, so put your trust in Yahweh because he gave us his word. He gave us his covenant, the covenant of the pieces. So he gave us the covenant to our father Abraham. Therefore, we are established as his covenant people. So that's what his proclamation is.
On Mount Sinai, he gave us his covenant. We can stand upon it. We can stand upon his word.
And then the prophets who he said, what did he say? Put your trust in his prophets. The prophets restated the case that Yahweh is a covenant keeper. That's what the prophet did.
They declared it. They proclaimed it. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to declare and proclaim his word. What is coming forth from your mouth? Are you speaking forth his word? Are you speaking forth life in the midst of your situation? And then we continue and we see, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise halal. Again, that's that loud, clamorous praise, exuberant worship that magnifies Yahweh and the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army saying, praise Yahweh. For his mercy endures forever. Do you not understand before battle, before you dress, you can dress up as a soldier, you can do whatever, but before you battle, you need to be praising.
So here you are.
Judah goes first. Praise
goes first. You've been having that time in your prayer closet. You get in your car. You're praising.
What the best time to get radical is in your car.
And you're driving to work. You get that praise out, and then what do? You walk into ambushes against all of your enemies there.
Hallelujah, right?
Right.
But you know what? We've got to expect that we laugh about that. But I know that we've prayed for people and work situation to change, for Yahweh to either promote that person out or to remove that person so the obstacle was gone, and we've seen it happen over
testimony
and over
right
again.
Yes.
So it may not be the ambushes of old, but Yah still moves on our behalf.
Yes.
He still moves and brings us finances where we need them. He is the one that answers.
Because it's kingdom versus kingdom. It's not one personality. It's not this personality, that personality. It's not, we war not against flesh and blood, but it is against powers and principalities and rulers of this dark world. So what are we trying to do? What are we living out in our life? We are living it out in the spiritual realm so that when we walk through the physical realm, the battle's already taken care of.
The battle is taken care of. Praise goes first. We make the decision to stand and not be moved.
And we know that we're the covenant people.
And we are following.
We can't forget that.
And as covenant people, follow him in truth.
Uh-huh.
We become the light, because the commandment is the lamp. We and the Torah is the light, and we're the ones that are bringing that light into the midst of darkness. The ones that are salt. And if we are falling down when the challenge and the test comes, if we become defeated and not realize who's fighting the battle, and we simply enforce what he tells us to do. We listen, we praise, we worship, we go on our knees, we proclaim, and we see our circumstances change and we see victory. It may not be in the time we think it should be, but it will always be on time.
That's right.
We will always be on
time. We serve Yahweh, the creator of the universe, who allows us to walk through certain situations. Why? Because it is in the testing of our faith that we build that endurance so that we can be a people that are strong and mighty. Because a people that know their God will do great exploits. But if we're a people that don't know him, in other words, we resort to human tactics and practices, then we don't know him. But if we resort to what he's shown us and how the pattern that he shows us in his very word, then we understand that he will navigate those waters for us. And all we have to do is walk. And like what they did, they went to the lookout of the wilderness and saw the dead bodies scattered on the ground. And a great spoil was gathered.
A spoil was gathered.
You know, and so remember, It's Yahweh who fights our battles. And I know there's the naysayers. Well, what about this person? Or what about these people? And they got destroyed in this situation. You know what? What I know is this. The word of Yah is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. That Yeshua the Messiah is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is not a man who should not lie.
He's not a Yah, not a God. Yes.
That's right. Right. Did I say that right?
You said a man.
Well, yeah, he's not a man who lies. He is God who changes not.
But I said vertical and horizontal, got those messed up. So, you know,
okay.
I knew what I meant, but I didn't say what I meant. So, hey, but you know, we have testimony and testimony. I'm going to try to condense one real quick. We had a lady in our congregation come forward. She and her husband, he's 81 years old, and they'd been living in an RV with no shower, no toilet, and things for a year. And she had been praying and believing. Even what they did have was broken and not working for some time.
They had to use a space heater because the heater didn't work.
And then the winter was coming again. And she came to me several weeks ago and she was crying. It was right before Sukkot. And she cried. She says, "Pastor Sandy, I can't do it anymore. Why?" And I said, "Sometimes we have to live with the choices we make, but Yahweh can move in and within them."
Yes.
And I said, "We're going to gather and pray, but before we do that, we're going to proclaim and we're going to thank him for the answer to what you're going through." And she'd been on her knees for a long time, but we gathered together as a congregation. We proclaimed, we praised for the answer. And right after Sukkot, she came and she said, "Guess what? What we had wanted, we now have an RV that has three slides. We have we have heat. We have a toilet. We have a shower." And she glowed. She said, "Yes. We gathered, we praised, we proclaimed, we declared the truth that he is our king. He is our Yah, and we receive because we stood in faith together."
Yeah, you know what's awesome about this? When they gathered the spoil, what did they do? They didn't just go on with their life. Then they had another great celebration, and they returned to Jerusalem with joy, for Yahweh had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with harps and lyres and trumpets to the house of Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
They were ready to shout and to praise a little
as
bit
we should
more,
be.
Right?
There, we can never praise, worship, proclaim, and be on our knees enough.
You know, let the fear and the dread of Yahweh come upon all of his enemies.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So Yahweh, he's so
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Rise up, Yahweh, and let your enemies be scattered.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Boy, I tell you, that's awesome. Powerful. And that I was. Love that, Sandy, where you said that God has emotion. He does. It's righteous emotion.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And he sings over us, and he dances over us.
Amen.
That blows me away.
We could get you. We could go on and on, but our time is up.
she's poking you in the side there, John.
I was waving my arms.
It's like no more.
I did. I was picture that.
Come on down.
You know, I'd like to thank you two both again, just like Mark said, that, you know, for coming in there at the last minute and filling the gap, and not just filling it, you blew it away. We love it. Thank you so much. John and Sandy Craig, and they are on, let's see here, your day is?
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Friday and Mondays. Or is it just now Monday? You're just one day a week now, aren't you?
We're still Monday and Friday.
As far as we know, maybe there's a letter we haven't seen or something.
I know the guy that sends those out. I know what you mean. tune in on Fridays and Mondays to Miss Ant Morning Prayers and listen to a couple of veteran prayer warriors that know what they're doing. And they know how to reach out to the Father, and they have a heart to pray, just like all of our great prayer warriors. I think Mark has done an excellent job of getting us some of the best prayer warriors. You know, it just used to be me, Susan, and Dr. Scotty. And now there's somebody on every day of the week. We are so blessed.
I love it.
So thank you again. Thank you again for being the anchor.
Yeah. Sandy, I wanted to just kind of let you know that, you know, when you and John were talking about, you know, your conference and that people would get up and start dancing, but then there would be those that would just stay vertical in their seats with their arms crossed, you know. You know what came to my mind all of a sudden is at Sukkot in Chandler, you know, at the I Am Sukkot with Lion and Lamb Ministries, there was that woman there with in her wheelchair. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
And she came out you know, she was, I'm not sure exactly what she's fighting against, but it didn't matter. She couldn't move physically, but she got that wheelchair going with the assistance of a family member. So that was awesome.
I love that.
There are great pictures of that. And you can see the joy on her face.
They put her in the middle of the circle dance.
Yes. And it was
wonderful because I was down there dancing with everybody, and she had this big old smile on her face. That was such a blessing.
She had the best darn smile I've ever seen during a worship session.
It was electric.
It was electric. It was.
Amen. Well, you guys need to come over to the chat room and rub elbows with a few of our visitors in there and let them thank you again for being with us here on at the conference and just doing an amazing job and a fantastic teaching. Thank you so much.
I have a question real quick.
Yes, ma'am. You got a question.
Because we are who we are, could I be, say, like a really quick, short prayer?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Father, we come before you right now, and we thank you for what you're doing in the midst of this conference, and we thank you that you're changing the lives of people that can hear you, Father, and that word will spread from person to person as a fire amongst your people, Father, that word will bring forth life. And for everyone that's going through a situation, Father, let that attitude of worship spring forth in proclamation, Father. Hallelujah. Let them come to their knees, but let them gather together with your people, Father, and proclaim who you are. We thank you right now for the rectification, for the answer to every prayer, to every battle, Father, that it's victory, that you are victorious. And Father, we look to you and you alone as our deliverer, Savior, our shelter, and our strong tower. We praise your holy name, for you are worthy to be praised. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
On the prayer meter, she got my dog to barking. So that's, that is a fantastic sign.
Hey, you guys can go over. You can go to the chat room, but you got to stick around in here.
Yeah,
that's right. You can't leave Skype. We're not kicking you out. So
no.